coming up on episode 361 of the YLP podcast. Happy Cinco de Milo weekend. Yes, I said Cinco de Milo, not Cinco de Mayo, but I'm going to tell you that in just a little bit. Yes, it is Cinco de Mayo weekend, and also, finally, Backlash weekend is finally here, ladies and gentlemen. And more than likely, by the time you listen to this, Backlash will be taking place. So hopefully you're listening to this before Backlash takes place, because we got plenty on the docket, and let's check out what we have on tap for this week. Yours truly watched the WWE draft last Friday and this past Monday, and I'm gonna have a few things to say about the WWE draft that took place this year and answer the question, did this WWE draft actually change the game? The answer, more than likely, won't even shock you. Also, I got some news on tap for the week. Rocka Khan, some of y'all may not know, Rocka Khan from the old school TNA days, has apparently sued a shit ton of people for $3 billion. I'm gonna say that once again. Rocka Khan has sued The Rock, Nikki Bella, The Miz, Maurice McFoley, Jim Cornette, and a slew of others for $3 billion, claiming that these people conspired to harm her and her family. But that is just scratching the surface. We'll talk about that. Sonya Deville's attacker. We discussed this many moons ago, actually. Sonya Deville, I'll get more into it. But we just found out this past week that her attempted kidnapper has finally been sentenced to 15 years in prison. We'll discuss all of that. As well as Vince McMahon getting scoffed at by the WWE creative team for his ideas for Roman Reigns' next challenger at Night of Champions. And I'm going to tell you, well, I'll tell you my opinion, but also who I listen to, and it actually makes sense as to who will more than likely be the next challenger for the WWE, well, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. All that, plus my Backlash preview and predictions, y'all. It is going to be a wonderful Saturday here in the YLP realm, and I hope you're ready. Like I said, it is Cinco de Mayo weekend. Get your margaritas out. Get your tequila out. Get your festivities and all the good things out, prepared and ready to go, because, ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 361 of the YLP podcast. Let's hit that intro. Let's get it started. And with that being said, let us begin.
What's going on, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, your general manager and host of Kings of the Rings podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, it does not get any realer than this. You are listening to the Young Lions Perspective podcast, hosted by Mr. YLP himself, exclusively on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
What's going on, guys? Zach from the Wrestling With Issues podcast here, and welcome to episode 361 of the YLP podcast. So glad to have you guys here on this fine Saturday, and I hope you're enjoying your day, your night, your afternoon, your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast, and as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. It is Saturday, May 6th, 2023. Hope you guys had a fantastic week. Hope you guys enjoyed the remainder of your weekend. Last weekend, hope it was everything you needed it to be. And if not, we have the weekend to figure it out and get ourselves prepared for next week's obstacles. That's how we get down here. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 360 episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate to hit your boy up with a voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/Young Lions Perspective, over at podcasters.spotify.com/WrestleLeticRadio, and hit me up at an email, if you so choose, over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. I need to play more Pete and Bass. Hold on. That's how I feel. That's how I'm feeling right now. Because I am hype. I hope you're hype too. I hope you are hype as fuck. I know Bad Bunny would be a better choice, but we are here enjoying some Pete and Bass, Mr. Worldwide. Get it. Dab. Ooh. Slide. Woo. Yeah, I'm feeling good. I hope y'all are feeling good as well. Like I said, it is Cinco de Mayo weekend. It is not Cinco de Mayo weekend. As of this recording, this is Friday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Because today is the 7th birthday of my floofy boy, my first son, my first child, my first Mr. Milo, Mr. YLP Jr. His birthday is today, and I want to make sure I get a huge, humongous shout-out to my floofy boy, Mr. Milo. Happy birthday, floofy boy. I hope it is everything you want it to be and everything you so desired with Pogaritas and Chimkin galore. So I want to make sure I get that out there to start off this weekend's festivities. Yeah, happy birthday, boy. I love you. I miss you. Can't wait to see you, bud. But yes, it is time to talk about the news. And of course, as well, we have our Backlash preview and predictions today. Last time I checked on the table in terms of record, 31-6 on the year. Not bad so far. We are doing good. I'm feeling good about this weekend. But we'll see how it all goes. But before we get into the fun stuff, y'all know, we have to talk about the news first. But I'm going to kick off this week of news first, of course. As I said in the intro to today's episode, I want to talk about the draft for just a little bit, if I may, if the court so choose. If the court is so inclined to allow me to talk my shit on the WWE draft for just a little while. We were told weeks ago that this draft was going to change the game, rock the foundation of WWE. And as I discussed on my bonus episode, Light the Fuse, I believe either last week or the week before that, there was no rocking of the foundation. When we look back on it, and we have a few days to kind of collect our thoughts and get everything put together pretty much, this year's draft, at least in my honest opinion, you have yours and that's perfectly fine. I love you for it regardless. This year's draft didn't change anything. Didn't change the game. The game. It didn't rock the foundation of WWE. It didn't, honestly, if we're being honest with ourselves and each other, I don't believe in my heart of hearts this did anything to change WWE. If nothing else than to fuck up a ton of storylines. Give us really nothing to sink our teeth into. It felt like chalk. For those of y'all who don't know about March Madness brackets, picking chalk is basically picking the top seeds, the top talent, top guys, top ladies. They went chalk as fuck. I hate to say it. They went chalk for the most part. Also, before I get into my deeper thoughts on this, really nothing changed. Really nothing of importance happened. There was no merging of the women's division. There was no merging of the tag team divisions. We're going to get a belt swap again. That's great. I'm not even disappointed with this draft. I'm really not. Because in my heart of hearts, we all know for the most part, at least most of us. The rest of us are, the rest of the IWC are nothing more than goofies who don't know exactly what the fuck they're talking about, and honestly are nothing more than WWE apologists, even though I know there are some people that will probably think differently of what I just said. Do I care? No. My opinion, that's how it works. The WWE draft, though, when you look back on it, was about as boring as you could get. And that's being truthfully honest with everybody about this. This didn't do anything for the WWE as a whole. It didn't do anything to shake the foundation, anything of that nature. It did, to me, it did nothing. To me, it did a whole bunch of nothing. Okay. I mean, let's dive a little bit into nights one and two real fast. Of course, off rip, we all knew going into it, and I said it last week, Roman Reigns, of course, was the number one overall pick in this year's draft. Cody went number two. Roman's champion, Bianca Belair, going to SmackDown. And that's right then and there is right when I pretty much said, yep, this is just going to be another boring-ass draft. Excuse me. Boy, was I right. Right after that, because right when Bianca Belair got chosen to SmackDown, I immediately already knew, yeah, we're going to get a belt swap. It's already pretty much in the cards. It doesn't matter whether or not Io Sky, you know, wins the World Women's Championship or anything of that nature. It doesn't matter. We're getting a belt swap. Hooray. Becky Lynch went 4. Street Profits go 5, Imperium 6, Edge goes to SmackDown at 7. That was a surprise. That was one of the surprises. Raw took Matt Riddle at 8. Lashley went over to SmackDown. Drew goes on Raw. The OC, the return of AJ Styles, goes back, I believe, at 11. Miz stays on Raw at 12. Damage Control gets moved to SmackDown. And now Michael Cole is all types of butt hurt. Shinsuke Nakamura goes to Raw, actually, which actually I think was one of the best calls of the draft period. And then we got a little confused at pick 15. Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn, the current reigning and defending NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. Then 16th pick, Indy Hartwell goes to Raw. I don't really give a shit about, you know, the SmackDown lowdown picks. The only few that I cared about was Dexter Lumis going to Raw to complete the way, hopefully. Zoe Stark moving up to Raw. Very solid pick, in my opinion. JD McDonagh goes to Raw and is rumored to go to Judgment Day. Apollo Crews goes back up to the main roster. And then we get to night two. Real quick. Ripley goes to Raw as the SmackDown Women's Champion. So yeah, that confirmed you're going belt swap. Imperium going over to Raw meant Austin Theory was going to go to SmackDown. Rollins stays on Raw. Flair stays on SmackDown. Zayn and Owens go to Raw. Uso stay on SmackDown, which kind of, you know, defeated my hoping of booking in which the Usos would go to Raw as a sign, and Roman Reigns was behind it as a sign of you effed up. Go fuck yourself. Judgment Day stay on Raw, which means Ripley stays on Raw, which means, yes, that's confirmed, belt swap. LWO stays on SmackDown. Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez go to Raw. Asuka moves to SmackDown. New Day move to Raw. Brute stay on SmackDown. Trish fucking Stratus. Why was she even fucking drafted? Anyone, Bueller? Anyone? No? Whatever. Karrion Kross and Scarlett stay on SmackDown, which I thought was a terrible pick for SmackDown. I honestly would have loved to see Karrion Kross go over to Raw, feud with Shinsuke Nakamura, which they were kind of leading to. Now it's just going to be nothing more than a one-off as of this recording tonight on SmackDown. Like I said, I record on Fridays and put this out on Saturdays. Raw got Rousey and Baszler, LA Knight. Yeah, staying on SmackDown. Honestly, one of the most sensible picks of the draft. Round 5, blah, for the most part. Braun Strowman and Ricochet go to Raw. Why are they still a tag team? Shotzi to SmackDown. No one cared. Bronson Reed stays on Raw, which pretty much confirms Austin Theory is going to be more than likely retaining the championship tonight. Elton Prince and Kilt Wilson, the team known as Pretty Deadly, get picked up and moved up to the main roster, as they have been rumored to for the past couple of months, with their performance at house shows. Alpha Academy stay together in round six, which I was very surprised by. Rick Boogs goes to SmackDown. No one cared. Katana Chance and Kaden Carter get moved up to Raw. Cameron Grimes going to the moon. To SmackDown. Of course, another one we had heard about going to SmackDown, or going up to the main roster, I should say. And then Raw Talk, the only ones of anything. Grayson Waller going to SmackDown. It was his time. He was ready. He'd been ready. Gargano goes to Raw. Let me see who else was of any note. Not really. Odyssey Jones. Why? Not ready. And then your free agents came about. Brock Lesnar was announced that he was going to be a free agent, because it's Brock fucking Lesnar. And the remainder of free agents, Baron Corbin, Shelton Benjamin. No, I got to say it right. Shelton Benjamin. And Cedric Alexander, Elias, Zion Quinn, and Omos are your free agents. For this, Mustafa Ali, Dolph Ziggler, Von Wagner. Also, Samantha Irvin and Mike Rome switched positions. Samantha Irvin will now be the ring announcer for Raw, and Mike Rome will announce SmackDown, which means we are going to be watching a lot more Raw because we love ourselves some Samantha Irvin around her. That's not to say Mike Rome ain't good, but Samantha Irvin is just that much better. Again, she was the MVP of Elimination Chamber for a reason. If you didn't know that, go back to my review of Elimination Chamber, and I explain why over there. Now, as we know, all the rosters take effect after Backlash this coming Monday, May 8th. But the way I saw it, I watched both nights. I watched both nights of the draft, and I shouldn't have, personally. I shouldn't have. There was really nothing of substance. There was really nothing that WWE did to change the game. They didn't. It was just another regular-ass draft. Just like the ones we've seen in previous years. Nothing really got shaken up. Nothing of substance was done. It was honestly just there. It was just there. That was it. Nothing really big. No big splashes, no trades, no sports-like feel, no anything. It was just another regular, boring-ass draft to me. And I'm sure you may think differently, and that's perfectly okay. I love you for it regardless. But this draft was just another draft. Okay, yeah, we had our bits of oohs and ahs and all this stuff, but it just proves to me, and I'm sure people will say it's a Vince McMahon move, Vince McMahon coordinated this draft, and y'all might be right. Y'all might be right in saying that. I'm not going to, because then it would just, create debate I ain't trying to start with. This draft sucked. This draft was terrible. I don't think they fully planned this out, because with the storylines they had already in place going into Backlash, going into the draft itself, I should say, you basically just fucked all of it up. Does Cody Rhodes finish the story? Well, Shinsuke Nakamura and Karrion Kross are supposed to have a feud. That's not happening now. And now with the new WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and of course the announcement that came about earlier on Friday with the press conference, we now know SmackDown talent and Raw talent will be competing to fight for the right to become the World Heavyweight Champion of WWE. Over on Raw. Now, in my mind, it's pretty much Seth Rollins versus who? Because in my mind, Seth Rollins should be the one to win this World Heavyweight Championship. He has busted his ass for years, allowing guys to get over, putting in the work, all of these stuff, reinvented himself as the visionary, all these things. And you mean to tell me that Seth Rollins ain't going to be winning that World Heavyweight Championship and Night of Champions? You are sadly mistaken, y'all. This is Seth Rollins' championship to lose. Now that it's confirmed that this is basically what was confirmed, though, because I watched a little bit of the press conference today, and shout out to King Ricky and Willie T. We were checking out, they were checking it out as well, because they work from home and all that good stuff.
I just happen to have the day off. Be like that. But basically, WWE is going to have two triple threat matches on each brand. The winners of those two triple threat matches will face each other later on the night. I'm presuming they will be the main event. Whenever they decide to have the main event. Hell, they might start doing it tonight. Like I said, I record this on Friday. It is 1:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The winners of that match after the two triple threat matches meet in the main event, hopefully, that night, and they will become the representative of the Raw side and the SmackDown side. Those two will face off against each other for the World Heavyweight Championship, and that is how we will crown a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I was hoping more so for a tournament, but hey, you know, beggars can't be choosers in this case. This is kind of a tournament in and of itself. Win your triple threat, win the match for your respective brand, you'll be in the championship. So this is kind of like a little bit of a mini tournament in a sense. But the way I see it, the draft itself was just, like I said, it was just there. It was just a draft to be had. Like I said, no crazy things, no announcements of merging of divisions, no announcements of a new tag team championship or anything like that. Nothing of substance. Absolutely nothing of substance. You know, people got drafted. People got moved over to brands. A couple stayed together, but Bianca got moved over to SmackDown. So the Street Profits, because Montez Ford is the husband of Bianca Belair. Becky and Seth staying on the same brand. That kind of makes sense because Becky and Trish needs to happen. And then Seth, of course, hopefully becoming the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion on May 27th. As a whole, it was just the same old draft. That's all it was. This was the same old shit that we've been getting for years. Now, honestly, I have feelings of the fact that I don't think they planned well for this. I don't think it, I mean, if Vince McMahon was involved, there's a reason why. But yeah, there's a lot of things that shifted. No Nakamura cross feud, which honestly would have been one of your top feuds on Raw had they been smart enough to move Karrion Kross over to Raw. I mean, I don't have any ideas or thoughts as to how I would have drafted. That would probably be maybe something I want to do down the line. You know, maybe do a little bit of an article for the Articles of War over at articlesofwar.wordpress.com. But seriously, what did WWE do with this draft? What significance does this draft hold? Because you're telling me, basically the way I interpret it is, WWE is telling me that we do not care about your storylines. We do not care about finishing the story. We don't give a damn. We want fresh, new everything. But in terms of doing that, you fucked up storylines. You fucked up a lot of shit. I don't think personally this draft did anything for a ton of talent. I mean, all we basically figured out was storylines are pretty much dead for now. The World Heavyweight Championship is going to be a Raw brand. It's going to be a Raw brand championship. That was pretty much like inevitable. Reigns remains on SmackDown. That was fucking inevitable. Cody Rhodes went on Raw. That was fucking inevitable. It was just a lot of inevitabilities that basically did nothing to progress WWE forward. And they mean to fucking tell me that they have plans in place for an entire year of booking. We got rumors of Cody and Roman facing each other at WrestleMania 40. There's rumors abound that Roman's supposed to hold the championship until September of next year because they want him to break Hulk Hogan's record. If those are true, then it proves even more Cody should have won at WrestleMania against Roman. WWE itself, prior to the draft, had booked themselves into a corner that they knew they had one choice to make. They couldn't get out of it. They knew what needed to be done, and they didn't do it. But as a consolation prize, as by my title of last week's episode, the Participation Trophy Belt, please make sure you check that out after you finish this one, of course. It basically proved we as fans were right all along, that Cody needed to win the championship, that Cody needed to finish the story at WrestleMania. It proves it. It proved it. And now, with this WWE draft, it proved WWE doesn't give a shit about Triple H's plans. I'm sure Triple H had everything set up for at least 6 months. Usually do. If you want to have your long-term booking. And I, for one, am just flabbergasted at the way they approached the draft. They could have done so much with this. Like I said, I may have to write an article about this somewhere later on in the year when I get my thoughts all together. Maybe actually produce my own draft that actually would make sense. But a lot of ground rules would have to take place. A lot of ground rules would have to be done. A lot of things would have to be changed. One of them being tag teams will float across Raw and SmackDown. The women's division is merged. There will be a unification of a championship. There would have been a unification of a championship at Backlash. And this would have been announced ahead of time. All this would have been announced. I would have laid it out. I would have personally not done this on Raw and SmackDown. I would have done this on the weekend. Make it a special. You got Peacock? Use it. Mind you, they had planned to do this draft on the same weekend as the NFL draft. Bad idea, because I'm watching the NFL draft. Now, I mean, I watched both nights of the NFL draft. Well, all three actually, but I watched the WWE draft as well, and kept up with the second and third rounds of the NFL draft. Seahawks, y'all did fucking well. I don't care what anyone says about not drafting Jaden Carter. Devin Witherspoon was a perfect choice. Shores up our corner position. We can worry about, we got D-line in the draft. It's perfectly fine. But this draft didn't honestly, not much of anything for me in terms of what WWE is planning to do. Like I said, I'm sure Triple H had tons of plans for this year. I'm sure he had tons of storylines going into SummerSlam season, going into Survivor Series season, going into Royal Rumble, and the WrestleMania 40 in Philly. I don't think we're going to be getting any of that now. I don't think the future is bright for WWE. I really don't. I think 2023, I've said this many times, as long as Vince McMahon is somehow part of the creative side of WWE, nothing is going to change because he's not going to let it go. I keep telling you people, week in, week out, Vince McMahon fucks WWE up. The second he came back in January to facilitate the sale of WWE, I knew immediately he was not just here to facilitate the sale of WWE. He figured out his way back in, and now we're getting fucked again. That's how I feel. That's my opinion on this. WWE had prior to the draft, prior to WrestleMania, backed themselves into a corner they couldn't get out of and used a bullshit loophole in order to try to make things right. It didn't work. The draft didn't work. This draft was, I mean, granted, we're going to get some good storylines, hopefully. I mean, Imperium's over on Raw. Gunther, Seth Rollins, run that back. Gunther, Cody, run that back. Nakamura, Gunther, yes. Dragunov didn't get drafted. That was a weird flex, but okay. Tyler Bate didn't get drafted. Weird flex. Okay. But I'm sure Tyler Bate and Dragunov, they're in storylines with Dragunov with Dijak, and then Tyler Bate probably going to be chasing Wesley for the North American Championship on NXT. But still, some of the NXT talent that were called up, like Hartwell getting called up. I mean, yeah. But then that shows Hartwell was just a transitional champion, no more, no less. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn going over to SmackDown with the NXT Tag Team Championships. That made no sense. And the only way that I can honestly figure that one out is that we have a women's tag team championship unification at some point between Morgan and Rodriguez and Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, or Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler get the Women's Tag Team Championships off of Morgan and Rodriguez, with Rodriguez turning on Morgan, becoming a heel, which she needs to be, and then, you know, beating Dawn and Fire for the to unify the titles and compete on all three brands. And then Katana Chance and Kayden Carter are built up to be the babyface team to take down the heels of Shayna and Rousey. That's all I got. That's all I've really fucking got. At the end of the day, WWE failed in this draft. They really did, in my opinion. They really failed. And we'll see how they do, because I'm gonna give it a little about 6 months at least before we get in, before I can kind of gauge it. I mean, usually most drafts in the NFL draft, usually you wait 3 years before you actually see if whom you drafted actually will pan out. Hopefully Witherspoon and Jackson Smith and Jigba handle business for the next 3 years and make my Seahawks look a lot better than they were last year. That's not to say it wasn't a bad year, but I think they can get better. But that's how I feel. I think WWE kind of floundered this big time. I really think WWE once again showed that this was nothing more than chalk. This was nothing more than just a regular old-ass draft that we've always pretty much seen for years and years. Nothing really exciting. Nothing really of substance happened. Nothing really made me say this was a good draft. I turned off Monday Night Raw on Monday night, immediately said to myself, this draft sucked. Because it did. Nothing happened. I mean, congratulations to all the call-ups. Waller, Hartwell, Fire and Dawn. You know, all that. Odyssey Jones, I don't know how that works out, but we'll see. But WWE, again, proved me right. They proved me right at Mania. They proved me right on the draft. And now we're going to go into Backlash. Just as confused, if not more confused, than we already previously were. And that's all I got to say about that. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back on episode 361 of the YLP podcast, we're going to get into the news and begin with Raka Khan and apparently her $3 billion lawsuit. This is a thing. Miss YLP even showed this to me. King Ricky showed this to me, I believe. And that's going to end the yikes. Also, we're going to talk about Sonya Deville's attempted kidnapper, now finally sentenced to 15 years in prison. We're going to talk about that on the other side of episode 361 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What's going on, you guys? This is Nate the Epping Great from the Brace for Impact podcast, and you are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
How's it going, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, general manager here at Wrestle Addict Radio and host of Kings of the Rings podcast, a show where we look at the biggest topics in the pro wrestling world, from WWE, AEW, and everywhere in between, with my co-host Willie T, as well as Kayfabe, formerly known as The K Murphy. And from time to time, we'll have a special guest from the wrestling podcast world. So make sure to check us out each and every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for our live streaming show on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, with the premiere of the actual episode on all podcast streaming platforms the next day on Thursday. So Kings of the Rings podcast, exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. And be sure to follow us everywhere on social media at KOTR_podcast.
All right, we are back. And of course, we have a little bit more news to discuss before we get into the Backlash preview and predictions, because I know those are going to be fun. But we got to take care of some work. Got to take care of the hard stuff first before we get into the fun stuff, okay? That's how we do it. That's how I was taught in school in terms of homework. Do the hard stuff first. Everything else goes down the line and makes things very much easier. So let's get back into it as we go to thesportsrush.com. Vince McMahon's ideas for Roman Reigns' next challenger at Night of Champions were reportedly scoffed at by WWE creative team. This is from Rizhab Singh. As brilliant as Vince McMahon's mind is, not since the fucking 2000s, but we'll go from there. I digress. It has also led to several unsatisfactory bookings. A typical example of Vince McMahon's style of booking would be pitting two powerhouses in the main event, regardless of their in-ring skills. As a creature of habit, Vince McMahon continues to pitch ideas to the creative team. Yeah. And he was just here to facilitate the sale, right? Though he has no say in the creative process. Bullshit. A new report revealed that McMahon's new ideas for Roman Reigns' next opponent at Night of Champions were scoffed at. With backlash fast approaching, and Roman Reigns not scheduled for the event, fans are wondering who Roman Reigns' next opponent will be. Even though Roman is sitting on Backlash out, he will have to defend his world titles at Night of Champions. Night of Champions will also mark the Tribal Chief's 1,000th day as the Universal Champion. According to WrestleVotes via Give Me Sport, Vince McMahon tried pitching for Roman Reigns' next opponent for Night of Champions, but his ideas were downplayed by the creative team. Not just that, the creative team even scoffed at some of Vince's pitches. As well they should. It is unknown what exactly Vince's ideas were. However, the fact that the creative team laughed at his ideas gives us the inkling that the pitch must have been something inconceivable. There's a quote here. I was told that Vince McMahon has pitched several ideas for Roman Reigns' next challenger. A few of them were even kind of scoffed at. Like, that hat doesn't make any sense. End quote. At this point, the creative team is restlessly casting about for Roman Reigns' next challenger. It is believed that the challenger will be unveiled after Backlash in Puerto Rico. Night of Champions, of course, is taking place on May 27th in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Blood money, we don't want know what number, electric boogaloo. We will have to wait and see who faces Roman Reigns on his greatest night in WWE so far. Since Roman Reigns continues to reside on SmackDown, there are a handful of potential challengers. However, Reigns has thoroughly defeated every challenger in the book. Main event tier superstars on SmackDown now include Bobby Lashley, Edge, Sheamus, AJ Styles, and Rey Mysterio. Earlier, rumors about AJ Styles being Reigns' next opponent made the rounds. However, a recent report shut the rumor mill after revealing that Triple H is not even close to booking AJ Styles as Roman Reigns' next challenger. This leaves us with Cody Rhodes from Raw, but for Rhodes to chase Roman Reigns again seems to be far-fetched due to them belonging to separate brands. We'll have to wait for the big reveal following Backlash. Now, before we started today's program, here's what I think was going to happen with Roman Reigns and Vince McMahon's idea, at which he was scoffed at. I think that Vince McMahon was trying to give us Omos. Now, I did hear this from JD from NY206, and I know a lot of y'all out there in the IWC are not too fond of this man, but most of the time, he's right, at least in my opinion. But I think Vince was trying to push Omos. I think Vince McMahon was trying to have Omos beat Seth Rollins and then be announced as the next challenger for the undisputed WWE Universal Championships. I think that's where Vince McMahon was going. Now, for most of you Homo sapiens out there, y'all probably have a hard-on for this, and I can completely understand that, but it doesn't make any sense ever, in the history of ever, for Omos to even get a taste of what it's like to be in the main event of anything. He's limited. He's a giant, which is Vince McMahon's wheelhouse. Yada, 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 blah, blah, fucking blah. That's what I think Vince McMahon was trying to push for. And good on the creative team to laugh at him because he deserves it. And honestly, and I've been saying this for a while now, Vince McMahon should have no say whatsoever in the creative process, even though Nick Khan lies his ass off and says he is not part of the creative process. Look at what Raw and SmackDown has looked like ever since WrestleMania. We all know what happened with that infamous Raw after Mania just a few weeks ago. I don't know who Roman Reigns' next opponent is going to be at Night of Champions. Nor do I care. Because basically, all it's going to be is Roman Reigns wins lol. So it doesn't really matter who you put across from Roman at Jeddah, or should I say in Jeddah, on May 27th. It doesn't matter. Roman Reigns retains. Lol. That's what it comes down to, me. Roman's going to retain regardless, so it doesn't really fucking matter who they put across from him, regardless of who pitched the idea in the first place. It doesn't matter. Now that we have the announcement of what happened at the Backlash press conference earlier on Friday morning, we now know that there's going to be two triple threat matches for each brand, Raw and SmackDown. The winners of those two matches meet later in the night. Winners of those matches will meet for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at Night of Champions. We got that bit down. But then what do you do with Roman? Who do you put across from Roman? Let's really have this critical thinking exercise real quick. Who is believable enough on SmackDown at this very moment to challenge Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship? No one. No one. Even worse, you now have technically two, three weeks of build after Backlash to give us an opponent for Night of Champions. WWE is telling you, me, you, Milo, Princess, Miss YLP, Mama YLP, they're basically telling you they don't have a fucking clue as to who they're going to put across from Roman Reigns. Now, mind you, my mom loves her some Roman Reigns. That's her man's. That is her husband. So it doesn't even matter what happens on May 27th. He's going to show up. She's going to have a schoolgirl moment, and we'll go. But honestly, the answer is it doesn't matter who they put across from Roman. He's not going to lose the championship on his 1,000th day as champion. He's not. Bobby Lashley could work. Edge could work. Sheamus could work. AJ Styles, not yet. And I've been hearing, reading rumblings that might be the main event for Money in the Bank. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. None of it matters. Doesn't matter if Triple H put it together. Doesn't matter if Vince McMahon made the call. It doesn't matter. All that matters is basically Roman's going to retain. Roman's going to get his flowers. And then I'm going to laugh real fucking hard if I decide to review it. And that's it. Roman Reigns goes on to Money in the Bank because there's nothing for June, as far as I know, unless they decide to do King of the Ring. Excuse me. Unless they decide to do anything else. You know, so if they do AJ Styles for the main event of Money in the Bank, so be it. It doesn't matter. Whoever you put across from Roman in Jeddah on May 27th, Roman Reigns is going to retain the championship. That's all that matters. You're not going to ruin the 1,000th day of Roman Reigns' reign of terror. You just don't. WWE has essentially backed themselves into a corner, as I said earlier in the program. They didn't know how to get out of it. So they decided, instead of doing the right thing, which was splitting the titles up and giving us, you know, modernized world titles. Because I've said this plenty of times now. Cody Rhodes defeats Roman. You split the titles up. You vacate the Universal Championship. You retire it for good. Cody Rhodes gets a modernized Wing Eagle Championship to represent the Raw brand as WWE Champion. And there will be, and then you could put the WWE World Heavyweight Championship on SmackDown. Have a freaking tournament to determine who's the champion. But WWE wanted the 1,000th day. They wanted to make sure they're basically saying that when we retire the Universal Championship, there is nothing or no one on this planet that will ever take down that record. They will retire the championship. And then from there we'll go. But this shows that WWE had no plans in place for Roman following WrestleMania. They had no plans in place for what they were going to do for the Raw side of things. They had no plans whatsoever. And even if they did, even if Triple H had the most solid plan, I guarantee you in some way, shape, or form, Vince McMahon fucked it up for him. This is why I've been saying since January, Vince McMahon needs to be nowhere near the creative side if we're going into this new era of WWE. They let him come back in and facilitate the sale, and then he started getting in our business. He stuck his nose in business that where it didn't belong. And now, we as fans are going to suffer for it. Because, especially hearing the rumors of Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania 40, as I said earlier, that makes no sense at all. The rumors of Roman holding the championship until September 2024 to break Hulk Hogan's record of 1,174 days as world champion. I think that's what the mark is. It could be longer. I'm not sure. But WWE essentially played themselves. They've essentially said, we do not know what the fuck we're doing because we booked ourselves into a corner yet again, and we have a championship that's a participation trophy. That's basically it. They couldn't, for lack of a better term, couldn't pull the trigger on the move. They could not just allow the storyline to die. So basically, like I said about the draft earlier, Cody Rhodes doesn't finish his story. The story is not going to be complete now. And that's sad because there could be a ton of opportunities for a lot of talent, but all they care about, and I said this moons ago, they do it for Roman. But let's move on and head over to Yahoo.com. This is where we get to have our fun at this point. From here until the end of this episode, fun time is about to be had as we head over to WrestleZone. Yahoo.com via WrestleZone. Tony Khan sharing update on AEW All In ticket sales. This also from Colin Tessier. AEW All In at Wembley Stadium continues to generate buzz as ticket sales continue to climb. In a tweet, AEW CEO Tony Khan stated that the company sold more than 43,000 tickets for over $5.7 million just 32 hours into the pre-sale. Now, the general public, now mind you, I'm recording this on Friday, so the tickets for the general public just went on sale a few hours ago. Now, this would set new records for gate and live attendance for AEW, which their previous mark was in 2021 at AEW Grand Slam, which drew 20,177 fans in one day. Well, technically like 2-3 days past that already. AEW, of course, is going to be held on August 27th at Wembley Stadium, which seats 90,000 fans. As of this writing, no matches have been announced yet. This is for every single person who thought this was just a t-shirt company. This is for every single person who thought that AEW couldn't do anything with MSG All In. This, well, United Center, but you get my point. That they couldn't be a part of a movement that could sell out MSG, that they couldn't do anything in terms of something like this. This is why the IWC is the way that it is. The goofies of social media trying to clown AEW because for some reason they can't handle the fact that success is being had by AEW. They can't handle the fact that, you know, a company the likes of AEW are going to be pretty much, at least by the end of this weekend, could be have sold close to 50,000 tickets. 32 hours into it, not even a day and a half, they already had sold 43,000 at 5.7 million in value. Like I said last week, the UK is a hot market for professional wrestling. We have promotions over there, Progress, OTT, all that. Pro Wrestling Eve, shout out to Pro Wrestling Eve. One Time, Rev Pro, 1PW. Good companies with a lot of good talent. And You mean to tell me AEW wasn't going to make do numbers? AEW wasn't going to do their numbers? This is an event on the scale the likes of SummerSlam 92. Now, we all know Clash of the Castle didn't take place at Wembley, but it was one of the bigger shows of last year because the UK market was dying for it. Tickets. Highest attendance in AEW history, bar none. Even the highest attendance, a higher attendance than WCW had when Goldberg won the world championship from Hulk Hogan at in the Georgia Dome. And that was like 41,000. So they already surpassed that. And I already know, and shout out one time to my boy, Brother Jermaine, who will be going to that show. I hope it is the experience of a lifetime to be at Wembley and seeing that show. But this goes to prove that AEW is here. They are for real. They've been for real for, what, 5 years? Okay, four, Princess, but who's counting at this point, right? Let's be real. AEW did their job. AEW sold this event. AEW did exactly what they needed to do to make this one of the bigger events of 2023. Y'all can be mad all y'all want. Y'all can say, oh, this is just t-shirt company. They're not, if they don't sell out the entire building, it's not successful. Really? So if WWE didn't sell out WrestleMania fully, where they had it this year in LA, if they didn't, you know, sell out the entire SoFi Stadium, it wasn't successful. 160 some odd thousand fans showed up to WrestleMania that weekend, bruv. But if AEW doesn't sell out 90,000, it's not a successful event. It's a successful event. It already is. And we don't even know we don't have a match on the card yet. And it's already done 5.7 million in just 32 hours. To all the goofies on Twitter, on Instagram, or any other social media platform in history, y'all can shut the fuck up. Take your words and shove it. Because your words don't matter. You think Tony Khan gives a shit about what y'all said? No. He knows it's going to be a successful event. AEW knows it's going to be a successful event. The roster knows it's going to be a successful event. The pro wrestling community knows it's going to be a successful event. I know it's going to be a very successful event. One that the entire world is going to watch. Pay good money to see. Because I know AEW is going to put on a card the likes of which we may never see again. And then on top of that, they have All Out the next week. What a time to be alive for AEW. Forbidden Door 2, All In and All Out in the same summer? Y'all bugging if this event's not going to be successful. Now, if they sold like 20,000 overall, y'all would start your shit talking in a heartbeat. We know this to be true. Sad as that sounds, we know it to be true. This event is going to be so fucking successful. And every single one of you who continue to hate, what are you going to say now? When the show goes on August 27th, the week before Labor Day weekend, and y'all have to sit there and watch as AEW puts on a banger show the likes we may never see again. Y'all have to sit on that. I don't. I know AEW is going to be successful with this. I know it's legit. I already know they're going to make buku money off the pay-per-view gate. They're gonna make their coin, and I guarantee you they're gonna do it again next year. Maybe, who knows? But UK fans were clamoring for AEW to come to the UK. They've been wanting that since day one. Year one. They've been wanting a UK special. When the news came out that a possibility was gonna be, it was even a possibility. We were already clamoring for it. So what makes you think in your heart of hearts that it wasn't gonna be successful, bruvs? Let's be real with yourself. If you were a hater talking shit about All In ain't going to be successful if it doesn't sell out 90K, it doesn't have to. Again, think of the logistics. Think of the set. Think of the ring. Think of what they're going to set up for the stage. All that stuff. You got some things that aren't going to make it be 90,000 people full. Okay? Concerts, same scenario. Raws, SmackDowns, same scenario. Seats get blocked off. But y'all ain't bitching about that now, are you? You're not. Now, I'm going to try to refrain from calling y'all WWE apologists because at this point, I don't care. What matters is what I do care about is this. Y'all are going to look goofy. Y'all are going to look stupid when AEW puts on a banger show that will be up for show of the year at the 2023 YLP Awards. Y'all are going to be mad that AEW put on success because y'all don't want success. You don't want to see the success for AEW. Y'all don't. I'll say it for you if you don't want to say it out loud. You don't want to see success of AEW. You don't. That or you just hate regardless. Me, I criticize the form. I'll criticize the form when the form needs to be criticized. Let's be real with that. I'll criticize when I need to. I'll praise when I have to. But there ain't no way. Ain't no fucking way you're going to come out here and say AEW All In is not successful if it doesn't sell at 90. If they sell at 70, 80, doesn't matter. Successful event. The show itself will be amazing. I know it will. Because AEW won't settle for anything less when it comes to their UK debut. WWE, put on a show in the UK. Banger of a show. Amazing show. One of the best shows in 2022. But you're going to sit here, go online on your Twitters and your Instagrams and talk shit about AEW's not successful if it doesn't sell at 90. Bro, get out of here with that. You know what's going to be successful. You just don't want to see it actually be successful. You're a hater. Accept your fate. Accept that you're that part of the IWC. And I hope, and maybe, hopefully, just maybe, y'all can sleep better at night. It bees what it bees. It is what it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back from this break, we're going to get to have some fun. We get to have even more fun because it is time for my Backlash preview and predictions. Oh, baby. I can't wait. This is going to be a good one. And I think it's going to be a tougher one than y'all think it is. But we'll figure it all out. We'll get it together. And it's going to be fun regardless. And that's on the other side of episode 361 of the YLP podcast. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the main event segment of episode 361 of the YLP podcast. Y'all know what time it is. It is time for the Backlash preview and predictions in San Juan, Puerto Rico. We all know Issa probably down there getting all types of turn for this event. And if it was any indication about what the Kings of the Rings podcast was talking about this past Wednesday, Issa likely will jump over the barricade if Cody Rhodes almost gets that big dub over Brock Lesnar. Let's keep that one thing straight. Shout out to Issa, by the way. At NYC Demon Diva on all social media if you want to go follow her. Cool people. Anyway. Let me get into this preview real quick. Got a little bit of time. So, Backlash. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm all hyped for the event in Puerto Rico. First time they've done this in about damn near 20 years. I think it was like about 15 years or so. Since WWE has done a PLE in Puerto Rico. But this is a very... I mean, granted, you know, with all the matches that are on the card, it's a very confusing time for a lot of people. Very confusing time. Because one of these matches in particular honestly doesn't go together. everything else on this card all pretty much makes sense. Bad Bunny, Damian Priest, Bianca, and EO. You know, the triple threat for the U.S. title, the SmackDown Women's Championship, Cody Rhodes, Brock Lesnar, even though we didn't get an explanation, but I'll explain that in a moment. And then the big six-man tag team main event with the Bloodline versus Riddle, Owens, and Zayn. I'm just going to get this out of the way now because I'll forget about it before we even get to this. There are two major things that aren't making sense or honestly being put together. The first one would be the reason why Brock went after Cody the night after WrestleMania and that huge tag team match with Sokoa and Reigns taking on Rhodes and Lesnar. I have no reason. We still don't know why to this day, even with the bullshit reason they gave of Brock Lesnar being lower on the card than Cody. That's about as asinine of a reason as you can get. To quote Skip Bayless, acid 9, acid 10, acid 11, acid 12. We still don't know why Brock attacked Cody. No explanation whatsoever, but we still have the match going on. The other one, which also doesn't make any lick of sense whatsoever, Seth Rollins and Omos. We don't know why we are getting this match anyway. They tried to explain it on Raw, and it didn't really work. It didn't matter. None of it mattered. I don't care. Now, if the announcement of how the World Heavyweight Championship wasn't made, I was of the belief prior to the announcement that Omos was going to be announced to face Roman at Inja. I'm dead ass serious. Because Vince McMahon would push for that. After hearing the article we talked about in the last segment, talking about Vince McMahon basically pitching ideas. My apologies, I just got a text. This match honestly makes no sense whatsoever. It doesn't. I honestly don't. It doesn't make any sense. Why are we getting this match? Why is Rollins having to face Omos? Why are we getting this match? And we honestly don't know. I don't know. You probably don't know. And if we don't know, I'm sure as fuck they don't know. Because they don't. They don't know. This match does honestly nothing for the card. It drags the card down in terms of grade immediately. Everything else on this card makes absolute sense. And a lot of loose ends are going to get tied up. Ripley defending the title against Zelina Vega, Belair versus Sky, the triple threat for the U.S. title. But it feels so predictable. That's the biggest thing about it. It feels predictable, minus one or two matches, but it feels like a predictable card, because think about how it was from Raw after Mania to Backlash. There was a whole lot of nothing, especially with the draft being in between both shows. You weren't going to get any storyline progression. You were just going to tie up some loose ends, and then the draft will take care of that. It didn't. And then we'll get Backlash and everything will go into effect. But then the announcement of Raw and SmackDown superstars competing for the World Heavyweight Championship, basically in and of itself, at least to me, makes the draft 100% meaningless. It made it meaningless. At least I personally think so. Made a lot of feuds pretty much get fucked over because of it. But Backlash, I think, will be a decent show. I think, of course, it's in Puerto Rico, so you know it's going to be buck wild. Bad Bunny's going to be competing in the event, not hosting, and all that. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be lit. We know it's going to be lit. It's Cinco de Mayo weekend. Oh, I'm sorry. Cinco de Milo weekend. And it's just going to be... It's just going to be one of those things where My apologies. I'm just looking at text. I am sorry. Didn't mean to give you dead air there. Okay, my apologies. My apologies. My apologies. But Backlash in and of itself is going to be, I think it's going to be a good time. And it just has, it just gives me that kind of confusion a little bit as to everything that's going on with the event itself. Because like this basically is like kind of like the end of, you know, the era that was supposed to be the beginning of the era for Triple H, and now we don't know who's running the fucking show. We don't. But nonetheless, I will try to do my very best to give you my predictions and try not to go buck wild crazy because of reasons. With that being said, let us get into our preview. Y'all know how we get down. Yes, sir. Price of Riot theme is back in the fold. Yeah. Seven matches on the card that we have for that this night's festivities, given that it is Saturday. Let us begin as we always do, from bottom to top, make our way up and see how we do. The goal is always to be 7-0. Year-wise, in terms of record, 31-6 on the year, and I couldn't be any happier with that record going into the summer months because it's going to be nasty once we hit the summer. So we're looking good. We are looking good right now in terms of that. But let's get into the predictions, starting off with Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest in a San Juan street fight. I couldn't think of a better way to close out the show than with this. They're probably not, but I'm going with Bad Bunny. I think it just makes sense because Damian Priest can take an L. It's perfectly okay. I mean, Bad Bunny in Puerto Rico, you're not going to have him not go over in this matchup. And given that it's a street fight, a lot more things can be done. The Judgment Day can get involved at some point. LWO can get involved at some point. It's going to be a crazy, a skirmish, a fracas, a brouhaha, to quote the Chiseled Adonis. It's going to be a buck wild match. But I'm going to go with Bad Bunny to get the W, and that's perfectly okay because that'll end the feud between LWO and Judgment Day, even if Bad Bunny is just a bit of a proxy of affiliation when it comes to the LWO. We move on to the Raw Women's Championship. Bianca Belair defending the Raw Women's title, even though she's going to SmackDown, over to Io Sky, who was also going to SmackDown. Weird flex, but okay. But I'm going with Belair to retain here because we're going to get the belt swap. That beautiful, delicious, good old belt swap between Belair and Ripley, which kind of foreshadows my pick for the SmackDown Women's Championship. But yeah, I'm going to go with Belair to retain here. It's just the sensible call to make. I hope I get a good match out of it. That's the hope. Belair and Sky have a good match. I think these two can tear it up in Puerto Rico. But we will see tonight. The United States Championship is on the line. Triple threat match. Theory versus Bobby Lashley versus Bronson Reed. And this is also a very easy one for me to make. Theory retains here. I don't think Bobby Lashley is going to get a sniff of it. I think he's going to go right to the main event scene. Bronson Reed stayed on Raw, which means he ain't winning it because they're not going to have two mid-card championships on one brand with the other brand holding none. So Theory retains here. And hopefully somewhere down the line, we get Theory, LA Knight, and Cameron Grimes for the U.S. Championship. Yeah. Let us go into this singles match between Seth freaking Rollins and Omos. I'm going with Seth Rollins to win this. I don't think Omos needs a win in any way, shape, or form. Just keep taking your L's. Shut the fuck up. Get your paycheck and let Rollins go over. Omos does not need this win. Omos doesn't need this win by any means. The Omos Sapiens can hate me all they want. I do not care. I don't. I think Omos, to me, is a novelty. I think Omos, to me, is just a second rate great Kali. Just never going to win a championship in the company. Rollins wins, goes on the tournament, runs that, has that momentum going to Monday night, and begins to make his climb to the top of the mountain to be the Raw participant in this World Heavyweight Championship match that they're going to do Raw vs. SmackDown. Want to be mad? Be mad. I do not care. We then go to the SmackDown Women's Championship. Rhea Ripley defending the title against Zelina Vega. Rhea Ripley is going to retain here, but I know the Puerto Rico crowd is going to be big time behind Zelina Vega in this matchup. But as per old school booking, if you're the hometown favorite, you're not going to get the dub. You're going to take a nice L and have that on your record. I'm going with Rhea Ripley to retain over Zelina Vega. We then go into Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. And this is probably the hardest one of all of them I'm going to have to book here. Because of the fact that there's so much riding on this. I have a feeling Brock Lesnar is going to go away for a little while after this matchup. And I think that's possibly the best course of action that WWE and Brock Lesnar can take. Just my opinion. I mulled this over all week long, trying to figure out the best case scenario for Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar. If Brock wins, it means more adversity for Cody. If Cody wins, it means he's one step closer to finishing the story. Regardless, it doesn't matter. Because the way WWE is portraying it is if Cody Rhodes finishing the story doesn't matter. If it does matter, Cody Rhodes, and this is the way I had been booking it. And if you didn't hear my Light the Fuse episode or my episode last week, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told you now. If I were booking this, I would not have Cody Rhodes win Jack between now and SummerSlam. Lose to Brock, lose a chance at the World Heavyweight Championship that he doesn't need. They would do King of the Ring in June, and he would lose in the finals. And finally, his moment would come at Money in the Bank. I know LA Knight fans, including myself, would love to see LA Knight, yeah, hold the briefcase for a hot second. But unfortunately, with everything that's come about, they're now going to have to wait a year for Knight to take it, because I would have booked Cody to win Money in the Bank, immediately challenge Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championships, and then win said undisputed WWE Universal Championship. They can't wait a year. They can't do it. They can't wait a year. So I was mulling it over in my infinite wisdom, in my hyperbolic time chamber, and I came out with a conclusion. I'm picking Cody Rhodes to beat Brock Lesnar. I know the man has to go through all this adversity to get the title back, but to beat a man like Brock Lesnar, who more than likely is probably going to go away for a little while anyway, which doesn't fucking matter in the grand scheme of things because he's a free agent. It doesn't matter. I'd have Cody win. I am having Cody defeat Brock. I don't care if it's a DQ. I don't care if it's anything. Cody beats Brock. What they do with him from then on out, your guess is as good as mine. I've already told you how I feel and how I would book it personally. But at the end of the day, I'm going to pick Cody Rhodes to defeat Brock Lesnar. And if that actually happens, I am also going to laugh my ass off because I think it's hilarious. That's just me. Cody Rhodes beats Brock. And to round out the preview and predictions and the predictions on this card, the main event. Roman Reigns' boys, the Bloodline, taking on Matt Riddle, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. And hopefully, Riddle doesn't hang out with Owens and Zayn all the time, because that would not be... Sometimes it could get a little too much, but part of me wanted to go with the Bloodline for this for a little while. It really did. And I would love to have picked the Bloodline, but I think Riddle, Owens, and Zayn take this one. And finally put this part of the feud to bed for good. Bloodline's going to be, the Usos are going to be on SmackDown. Owens and Sami Zayn are going to be on Raw anyway. This is your clean break from this portion of the Bloodline storyline. Because now we got to focus on the beginnings of the Bloodline imploding. And here's how I'd do it. I'd have Jay take the fall. Doesn't matter who pins him. Jay needs to take the fall. Because I think where they're heading now, hopefully, is that Roman's going to be fed up with the Usos. I don't know if he's going to be attending SmackDown tonight. If he is, okay. If not, we can wait till next week for this. But I want the Bloodline to lose. Not because I hate the Bloodline or anything like that, but for storyline purposes, the Bloodline needs to take this L. Roman should come out and Sokoa should take out the Usos. That's how I'd do it. Bloodline loses. Roman comes out, shits on Jay and Jimmy. Sokoa attacks his own brothers. And from there we'll go, leaving Jimmy and Jay in a heap in Puerto Rico. That's how I see it happening. Because the Bloodline don't need this one. But the Usos, Sami Zayn, not the Usos, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Matt Riddle do need this one. There's already dissension taking place. I think this is going to be the strike that puts a chink in the armor of the Bloodline. Because Roman Reigns can then begin to fully not trust the Usos of getting the job done and solving the problem. I think they're pushing for Solo Sikoa to turn on his brothers. Hopefully that, which would be a dope ass match. Eventually we get Roman and Solo versus the Usos in a huge tag team match. That's what I would love to see. If they have no one for Roman to face at Night of Champions, I think we can pull that off. If not, we can wait. We can do something for June. We can have that be the program for June leading up to that matchup. We can make that happen immediately. But it has to start with Jay taking the pin, Jimmy not being involved in the decision and making something happen, and Solo and Roman turning on, respectively, their cousins and their brother. We'll see how all that goes, but again, the goal is 7-0. Hopefully we make that happen, because that would be absolutely fantastic to go 38-6 on the year. What a record that would be. But we'll see how everything goes. We'll see how everything pans out. And we'll just see what happens tonight, because, it goes down in the DMs tonight in Puerto Rico. If you're going to be watching it, I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I think I will. If you're going to be rocking with us this evening, if you want to join us on our Discord, you can join us on our Discord. Head over to twitter.com/addict_wrestle. Hit the link tree there. There's a link for the Discord invite to jump to be a part of our Discord. Click on that, get an invitation from our esteemed general manager, King Ricky Rose. It'll be approved within minutes, I'm assuming. And then you get to join us in the War Lounge, which is where I'll be. I think King Ricky's going to be there. Fretz may be there. Nate may be there. A couple of our members will be there. I know Sir Charles was in there last time when we did WrestleMania Night 2. Well, I was in there for WrestleMania Night 2. And all of that. It should be a good time. So if you want to join us over on the Discord, again, go to twitter.com/addict_wrestle. Click on the link tree. Click on the Discord invite and join us as we talk all the trash in the world. And maybe Nate may be coming through with a Stone Cold impression like he did on Night 2 of WrestleMania. Stone Cold, yeah. What? What? Telling you, man, it was a good time. It was a really good time. And I encourage y'all to join us tonight for Backlash, if y'all haven't already. But that's going to conclude episode 361 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, we're going to close out the show in proper YLP fashion and get you ready for episode 362 of the YLP podcast. Be right back. Well, guys, that's going to be it for episode 361 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast, and as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 360 episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate to hit me up with a voice message over on podcasters.spotify.com/younglionsperspective and podcasters.spotify.com/wrestleaticradio. Also, you can hit me up by the email over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. If you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast, live tweets, anything in particular, you can follow me over on Twitter at YLPerspective, over on Instagram at Young_Lions_Perspective, and you can also find me on Facebook. Simply just search for Young Lions Perspective Podcast. Of course, you can check out this episode of the podcast on, of course, podcast for Spotify, over on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. There will be no show next week. I just want to let you guys know about now. There will be no show next week. I am traveling back to Colorado, so I will more than likely not be doing a show at all, given the circumstances of traveling and everything else, making sure I'm ready to go and all that good stuff. So there will be no show next week, but episode 362 of the YLP podcast will be technically our go-home show for Night of Champions. Yes, that will be our go-home show for Night of Champions, and I'll catch you. We'll catch up on all the news that's been for me to talk about, all the news, everything else up. I may do a little review, just a quick one, in terms of Backlash, let y'all know how I felt about the show, even though it will be about 2 weeks late. But yeah, that is perfectly okay. I love y'all regardless. So that's what's going to be going down. So no show next week, and we will return on May 20th, 2023, back and back. Oh, I'm trying it again. Back and better than ever to give y'all the show that y'all deserve in terms of the YLP podcast. So yeah, again, that's what's going to be going down for the next couple of weeks. So again, no show next week. And we'll be back on the 20th. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy your Cinco de Mayo weekend. Enjoy your Cinco de Milo weekend, Mr. Milo. Happy birthday to you. Happy 7th birthday. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy Backlash. Have a hell of a week. And then have a hell of a next week. And I'll see you guys right back here in 2 weeks' time for episode 362 of the YLP podcast. See you. Happy birthday, Milo.
This has been a Wrestle Attic Radio branded podcast.